Mamshich, last Tuesday we had the first public holiday shiur, and we spoke about Inyan Kiddush. Next Shema Frank will speak about Inyan Kosher Matir. We hope to be able to continue this whenever there's a time when people are not so involved in their pursuit of Parnassah that we'll be able to be handed over to the shiur.
Question, and we'll use this question as a springboard to get to a number of questions in Hilchos Shabbos that are actually very relevant and come up probably every Shabbos. The question I'll start with is what happens if your shirt gets dirty on Shabbos? You look around for a clean shirt, you don't have any clean shirts. The only shirt you have is a shirt, brand new shirt, sealed in a bag, has all the pins in it, some labels tied onto it. Are you allowed to use that shirt? What does this involve? It involves tearing open the bag to get the shirt, pulling out the pins, and removing the labels. Is that something you can do on Shabbos or not? So first, let's examine the case and let's see how many questions of Hilchos Shabbos are involved in this case. You have tearing the bag open. So tearing the bag open involves an Isser D'oraisa and an Isser D'rabbanan. There is a question of Kareya. Kareya is one of the Lamatas Malachas of Shabbos. That means tearing. Tearing for a constructive purpose is a Malacha D'oraisa, it's one of the Lamatas Malachas of Shabbos. Then there is a question of a D'rabbanan, even if we'll explain, as we'll continue on, that there is no question of D'oraisa over here. It's not a constructive tearing. However, even destructive tearing, when you do something destructive on Shabbos, that's also Aser. It's Aser Midrabanan. It's rabbinically prohibited. That's called Mekalkel. Destroying something on Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited, so how do you get past the Isser Midrabanan? Now, after we've opened the bag and we've gotten to the shirt, now we have to deal with removing the pins. Here comes into a question of Malacha Shabbos of Teifeh, of sewing. You can sew with thread, or you can sew with a metal thread, i.e. a pin. Right? So in other words, these pins which are put here to hold the shirt together so that it shouldn't shift in the bag, technically we will look at it as if they was sewn in, and therefore removing it would also be a Malachas Shabbos. Also, it's called Kareya, but it's, in other words, it's undoing a stitches. And then lastly, we'll deal with removing the tags, which gets into the question of kosher matter. We'll see if we get to that. Let's start with the first question. What does it involve? What heterim are there? What's the issue of tearing open bags? Now, this question, as everybody knows, this is a question every Shabbos when you open up a bag for food, right? You tear open a bag of potato chips, or if you open a packet of sugar, something which is negeya every Shabbos. Are you not allowed to open bags on Shabbos? So now the beginning of the sugya, it begins with a Mishnah in Shabbos. It's after Shabbos, that Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shoyver Adam es achavis lachol hemen egregris ubilvach lo yizchavim lasas kli. You're allowed to break open a barrel in order to remove the dates, figs that are inside it, as long as you are not trying to make a keli out of it. In other words, you're not breaking making a special opening, a nice opening, whereupon you would be making the chavis into a better keli than it was originally. Then you can't do it. But if you're just breaking it destructively, it's mutter. Why is it mutter to break this chavis, this barrel? Why is it mutter to break it destructively? So Rashi says, it's brought down over here in the round. Rashi explains the ein b'mekalkol shum iser shabbos, because doing something destructively does not involve any Isser Shabbos. That's how Rashi explains. You're destroying the Chavis, you're doing something destructive, not constructive. Anything destructive doesn't touch an Isser Shabbos. The Ran asks on him, the Ran over here in the back, he asks, "Beloy Nehira, I don't agree. The Nehi, the Kol HaMekalkel and Peturim, I agree that it's not an Isser D'oraisa, you're not Chayav Karis, and you don't bring a Karban Chatas if you are doing something destructively on Shabbos. Isser miha eka, there is an Isser Drabanan, it's prohibited rabbinically. You are not allowed to destroy something on Shabbos. Ela hainu time, but what is the reason that it's mutter? For a different reason. The kivin de ba'alma mekalkal pater aval aser, being that generally mekalkal is something, destroying something is only aser vidrabanan, so it's an iser drabanan. It's not rabbinical. It's not aser min ha'tayra. Therefore, mishum tzer shabbos shari l'chadchila, being that here that you need this food for Shabbos, this is greater dates, fig, something you need for food for Shabbos, when it's involving, when you need to do something destructively in order to obtain something for your Shabbos meal, then they were lenient as far as this issur of doing something destructively. Normally doing something destructively is aser midrabanan. Here, where it's for the purpose of Shabbos, where it's the purpose of getting food on Shabbos, they're lenient. So we see from this Ran that there is a heter to do something destructively on Shabbos. However, that's only because it's an issur drabanan. It's only because it involves an issur drabanan. Were it to involve an issur d'oraisa, would you be touching on something which is an issur d'oraisa? So then you would not have a heter to open something up on Shabbos. Now, breaking a chavius is solid, made out of wood. Breaking a chavius doesn't have anything to do with this or karei, not tearing. Tearing is, by definition, something pliable and soft, like paper or plastic or anything like that. So breaking a chavius is just a question of soyser, a different malacha, and the case over here is that it's a keli, it's not built into the ground, so regardless, it's not a d'oraisa anyway. Anyway, only drabanan. Anytime you break something which is not connected to the ground, it's regardless of drabanan. We have to now decide when you are tearing something, kareya, you're tearing a bag in order to get the food inside it, is that an issur d'oraisa, or is that an issur drabanan? If it's an issur drabanan, if it's only rabbinically prohibited, then we can apply this heter that the Ran said, that if it's only a question of doing something destructive on Shabbos, it's only drabanan, when you need it for Shabbos, it's mutter. But if it's an isra d'oraisa, if it's a question of being over an isra d'oraisa of kareya, then this heter would not apply and would not be permitted. So what is this question contingent on? The question is as follows. The question is, doing something destructive on Shabbos, we know that's not asur min ha'Torah, because the Torah only asks for things that are constructive. However, the question here is, you're tearing the bag in order to get its contents. So perhaps that's called doing something constructive. In other words, yes, as far as the bag is concerned, you're doing something destructive, you're destroying the bag. However, what you're doing is not something which is by definition a destructive act. You're trying to do something constructive. You're trying to obtain food. How do we look at this? Do we look at tearing the bag in order to get food? Do we say, well, you're trying to get food, and that's something constructive? Or do you say, well, just look at the bag. You're tearing the bag, you're ruining it, that's something destructive. So Mishnah Berurah... I'm sorry? But the barrel, I said, anyway, can't be d'oraisa because it's a keli. So destroying a barrel, even if it's constructive, right, would also only be a drabanan. So the kareya is different in that. That's right. It can't be an issur d'oraisa, right? But here by kareya, that's why kareya has to be dealt with separately. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this in Simen Shin Mem. He brings down a very interesting Kri Chodesh in Yeridei Simen Kuf Yud Ches. Things in the European towns, people didn't have ovens in their house that were on Shabbos at least. It is some my grandmother, I think, only had a range, didn't have an oven at all. So what they would do is they wanted to have cholent on Shabbos. What everybody would do is they would bring it to the baker, the town baker. Everybody would have some sort of a simen on their cholent pot. They'd bring it to the town baker, put it in his oven, and then they would get it on Shabbos, which brought a whole slew of other questions of carrying on Shabbos, which, okay, they speak about that. But anyway, so they used to do this in the time of the Greek fathers some 400 years ago. Things didn't change then either. So they also were bringing it to the... The problem was is that the town baker wasn't a yid. The town baker was a guy. So then, you're bringing your child with meat, and you're leaving it by a guy, you have a problem. There's an issur called basar shenis alam in ha'ayin. You can't leave meat in a guy's residence unless it's sealed and it has two simanim. Right, you can't just leave a piece of meat in his residence and it's usher to eat. So he has this problem. How can we bring our shalom pots to him on Shabbos and seal it in a way that when we pick it up, the seal will have remained until then, and we will know he hasn't touched it. That was the problem. So what people used to do is that everybody would bring their shalom pots, they would put it into the baker's oven, and then they would seal the oven shut. They would seal the oven shut with a piece of paper. Right, then as they would close the oven, they would put a paper on over the handle, and they would tape it on, and they would make a siman on it. And by sealing the oven shut, that was the way they were ensuring that the guy didn't touch it in order to take care of this problem of basar shenis alam min ha'ayin. And the person who asked the Pre-Chadash asked him, is this a proper way of taking care of Basar Shnatam and Ayin? And he really was only referring to the Yerideya aspect of it. In other words, is this a proper protection to make sure the guy won't be able to get at the food or not? And the Pre-Chadash said, I don't understand. Forget about the Yerideya question. There's Chil Shabbos here. Tearing the paper, he says it's Chil Shabbos. So he says, why is it Chil Shabbos? Tearing a paper is only, it's destructive. He says, that's not destructive. You're tearing the paper in order to obtain the food. He says, that's constructive. That's it. So Shabbos is an Isser Daraisa, and there's no way that you can do it that way, because it involves an Isser Shabbos and Melacha Daraisa of Kareya. Likewise, he says, opening a envelope in order to get the letter is also an Isser Daraisa. Taking, because even though you're tearing the envelope, but by tearing the envelope, you're doing something constructive, you're obtaining a letter. Therefore, he says, Nisa Daraisa, and it's also to do. And Mishnah Berurah brings it down, and he says, all the Paiskim are Chayrat on the Pre-Chadash. Everybody disagrees, but the Mishnah Berurah says, it's something you shouldn't do on Shabbos. You shouldn't tear open a letter on Shabbos. He's Chayshish, it's Nisa Daraisa, it's a question of an Nisa Daraisa, Nisa Kara. So he says, we'd rather refrain from doing this on Shabbos. This is the case. So then we're stuck, right? The Mishnah Berurah is telling us that even though we're Chayrat on the Pre-Chadash, but we should still worry about it, and we should refrain. So then how do we open bags of food on Shabbos? How do you open sugar? All the tearing that goes on in order to obtain food, how is it done? So I just want to point out one thing about this Pre-Chadash. The Pre-Chadash, when he's talking about a letter, and Mishnah Berurah himself points this out, is not talking about our letters that are put inside an envelope. He's talking about earmail. Right? In other words, that the letter is folded upon itself and taped on. So when you tear it, you're making the letter eminently readable. Meaning to say, it's not just that you tore the envelope and threw it away, and now you have the letter here. So it's the same thing. The same item, this letter was unreadable. You tore it, now you made it readable. That's what the Pre-Chadash is talking about. Likewise, I'll point out that in his case where you're tearing that piece of paper off the oven was unusable. The oven was unusable because it was sealed shut. By tearing the paper, you made the oven usable. Right, you were mishacking something. It wasn't just a question that you were now able to obtain the food. You actually, there is something here which was not usable prior to the tearing, and now it has become usable due to that fact that you've torn. So that is very, very different, in my opinion, than tearing a envelope and getting the letter inside, or tearing a bag to get the food that's inside it, because there, in the Pre-Chadash's case, where you're tearing a earmail letter, or you're tearing the cover off an oven, making the oven usable, there is something after you're finished, the item that you've torn has now become better, has become more usable. That's constructive. You tore the letter, now you can read the letter. The same thing you tore, you've done something constructive to it, you've made it more readable. You've torn off the seal to the oven, you've made the oven usable. We'll consider that seal as part of the oven, and you tore it off, you made the oven more usable. But where merely all you're doing is tearing the bag, discarding the bag, and obtaining the food that's within, the Pre-Chadash never really discussed that case. And I think that's a leap to go from this Pre-Chadash and say that he would also hold that it's prohibited in the case of obtaining the food inside. I think that's somewhat of a leap. The Pre-Chadash is much easier to understand if we're talking about that the same item which was torn has also become better. Tore the letter is readable. You tore the oven's usable. You tore one thing in order to get something else, that's much harder to understand that should be called constructive. It would make much more sense to say, no, forget about the thing you got. You tore the bag is destroyed, you did a destructive act. The Mishnah Berurah does equate them. But many of the Paiskim that come afterwards disagree. And they cite... one item. And as much as you consider the sticker to be separate from the oven. So now, once you connect it to the oven, we don't really look at it as separate. So in other words, you seal the oven. True. But then at least the point was to attach it to the oven. It's not a separate item, like the bag is a keli for itself and has contents. There's no way you'd be able to combine those two. But in any case, regardless, the Paiskim disagree with this Pre-Chadash, and they cite two rayas which seem to be very clear rayas. One raya is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Yudalid, and this is Sif Ches, and it says Chayslei Shal Tamarim V'Groy Grois. kosher b'chavel matir v'soyser sharkes b'chavel v'chayte chafila b'sak chafila gufon shel chayisla. So you're talking about a basket which is made out of palm fronds, right, with leaves basically, and it was sealed, and they used that to develop the dates, you know, that they should dry, so that you're allowed to tear it with a knife and cut through the chayislas in order to obtain the dates. And the reason given is that we don't look at it as tearing, we just look at it like a shell. We look at it as a shell or a peel of these dates. And you're tearing it is equated to peeling an orange. There's no iser kareya in peeling an orange, even though you're tearing the peel. Peeling a fruit, taking off the cover of the shell of a nut, is not called kareya, and it's not called a malacha at all. Likewise, we look at this container, which the whole purpose is just to contain and develop the groigrois and the dates, we look at that not as a malacha kareya at all, just as removing a shell. That's one proof. Secondly, there is a tesefta, which Mishnah Berurah brings down, the same siman, Shin Yudal, Sif, Kot, and Chaf Hei, when it says, Imutur Gamkein Likroya Ha'or Me'alpi Chavi Yishol Yayin. You're allowed to tear off the leather covering which was attached to a Chavi Yishol Yayin. So you had a barrel of wine, and you seal the leather covering on top of it. You can tear the leather covering to obtain the Yayin. This is also quite direct contradiction to what the Pri Chodesh has said, right? You seal the Chavi Yishol Yayin with a leather covering. You can tear the leather covering to obtain the yayin. It's not called kareya, and the explanation given is basically the same idea. It's a makalkel. We don't look at it as malachas kareya. All it is you're destroying the oyer. You are not doing anything constructive. You're just doing something destructive, and being that it's only a durabanan doing makalkel, it's mutter when it's for the purpose of obtaining food. So we're coming out here, halacha l'maaseh. This is takad halacha l'maaseh. Although it is better in order to avoid the questions involved, it would be better to open up bags if possible before Shabbos, provided that it won't ruin the food. You know, if it's in your ability to open the bags before Shabbos, it would be better to open bags, tear them open before Shabbos. However, if you're in a situation where you need to tear it open on Shabbos, it's mutter if it's a tzairach Shabbos, because it's only a destructive act, it's only rabbinically prohibited, it's only drabbanon. So in order to obtain what's inside it, you can tear it open, as long as you tear it open destructively, as you ruin the bag, right? You don't tear any letters either. So if you destroy the bag, you can discard the bag and take the contents. Now,
the question. On top of the chavis, you're destroying it.
Yeah, basically. It can't be used for its purpose anymore. Its purpose was to seal. It can't be used as a seal. Right. If you do it in a way where you're making a spout out of it, if you were to cut the leather in a way that you're making a spout, so then you're actually being the sacking it by making your hole, that would be prohibited, that it says here. Right. But if you're doing it destructively, then it's permitted. Now we just have to deal with one other question, which says that it's mutter to do this tearing or destroying when it's a tzair of Shabbos. What constitutes a tzair of Shabbos? I remember when I was in yeshiva, everybody used to say, no, it's only mutter for food. That's it. You want to get food, you can tear something to get food. You can't. Cups, napkins, not those things, you know, paper napkins or paper plates, you can't tear those open. The only thing that's mutter is food. Okay, I accept it as that. Going on in life, if you're ma'ayin in the sugya, it seems quite clearly that it's not particular to food, but anything which would be considered a tzairuch Shabbos. The Ran I read before said tzairuch Shabbos, although he's talking about food, but he didn't say that it's mutter because it's food. He said the heter is because it's tzairuch Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Zalman said quite clearly it's not particular to food. You can tear it from medicine or any other Tzairuch Shabbos you have, you can tear it open. The interesting here is Rav Moshe has a very long tshuva about this. In Rav Moshe Feinstein in Ar Chaim Chelek Aleph Simin Kuf Chaf Bey, very, very long tshuva about opening cans, opening boxes, opening bags, and he brings down this prichadash. He brings on this prichadash that says it's usher to open an envelope, and he disagrees with him. He says, he brings the rise, and he says, definitely it's not an isser d'oraita to open up a letter. However, he says it is usher d'rabanan to open up a letter on Shabbos because you're mekalkel. And he says, opening a letter is not called a tzair of Shabbos. I think it's either. He holds there's no difference. Rav Moshe is matter whether it's an ear mail letter or whether it's a regular letter. He holds there's no difference. But as far as what's relevant to us, what he's saying is that reading a letter is not called a Tzair of Shabbos. In order to read a letter, that's not called a Tzair of Shabbos. You can't tear open something for the purpose of reading a letter. So he's the first person I found that made some differentiation, what you can do, what you can't do. Now you have to try to figure out, you know, where do you draw the line? What's called a Tzair of Shabbos and what's not? food and anything that pertains to food, I think is quite clear, is mutter. Food for food itself, cups, knives, forks, things like that. Clothing for Shabbos, anything which involves kibbutz Shabbos, right? In other words, making your kiyum of koyt Shabbos better. Obviously, I believe it would be called Sarah of Shabbos. Reading a letter, that's just something you're interested in doing. Reading a newspaper or reading, let's say, a magazine, that's a good question. So if we, in other words, in the way the Igros Moshe views it, you have to know if that would be called a Sarah of Shabbos or not. You can ask your respective Pesach. But in any case, tearing open a bag to obtain the shirt, that I think clearly would be mutter. You need a shirt for Shabbos, that's for sure. Part of Bikdei Shabbos is part of Kiyum Shabbos. There's no question that it will be permitted to do on Shabbos. The Chazanish. I'm sorry? Yes.
You just want to wear it.
Correct. You just want to wear a shirt, that would also be fine, right? It's not that you only have that shirt. The Chazanish holds, so as far as this whole sugi goes, he holds that it has nothing to do, you don't even need a Tzarev Shabbos. Because he says, this is not even called mekalkel. This is not even called doing something destructive. This doesn't even involve an Issa Drabanan. He says, when you're tearing something just to get at its contents, that's not a melacha at all. That's not called a melacha ball. It's not Tereya, it's not Saiser, it's not Baina. So I think he understands the Rashi that I read before. Rashi says, Ein b'mekalkel m'shem Issa Shabbos. Rashi is not trying to say that mekalkel, destroying in general, doesn't have an Issur Shabbos, but he was trying to say that here, this is nothing. This is not a malach at all. Anytime all you're doing is you're destroying something to get at its content, and it's not for the purpose of the, you're not trying to do anything in particular to the item you're dealing with, and as you're ripping the bag, you're not interested in the bag. You're just getting the bag out of the way. That's not a malach at all. When a malacha, by definition, has to start that you are trying to accomplish something in the item you're doing it to. I'm ripping a bag, I'm trying to accomplish something with the bag. But if my purpose is not the bag, I'm just trying to get at something else, he says that's not a malacha at all. And therefore, you wouldn't even need a Tzarev Shabbos. The way he understands, you can just hear, go straight through. Because there's no even an Issur Drabanan. That's what seems the way the Chazanish would understand. And if so, definitely you can open a bag to read a Hamadiyah magazine or something to that effect on Shabbos. That would also be permitted. Feed the opinion of the Chazanish. Okay, so we managed to open the bag and we got to the shirt. Now the question is, can we pull out the pins? Are you allowed to pull out the pins of the shirt? So this involves a new question over here. The question is something which is attached by pins, is that called taifer or not? Is that called sewn, stitched or not? So the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Mem, Simen Sifkatin Chav Tes, he brings down a not Chav Tes, I'm sorry, Sif Katin Chav Zayin, he brings down a Karban Nisanal. Karban Nisanal is a Pirush, he wrote a Pirush on the Rosh in Masechta Shabbos, and he says that the Eisen Anashim, those people, Shatechavin Hakrais Im Habeget, they stick a Krais, a pin, says in Yiddish over there, it's a Shteknobel, a pin they used to stick with. The habeged the macha with a pin b'shtei tekifos, you insert the pin once into the beged and then you go out again. Right? In other words, not just you stick it once through, but you go in and out two times. Lav shaparavdi, they're not doing the right thing. Karban nisanal, they must be gimel tefiras, and if you've done it three times in out in, af b'li kasher, even though you haven't tied anything, you're chayim. So this is the right. So the karban nisanal holds that using a pin to attach something is an Issur D'oraisa. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. He seems to agree. He seems to hold that using a pin to attach two items, or a safety pin, or anything for that in that matter, any metal item that you use to attach two begadim, can involve an Issur D'oraisa if you do it three times, and if you do it two times, it's an Issur D'rabbanan, and it's prohibited. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah passes. However, the Karban Nisanal himself doesn't say it definitively. The Karban Nisanal, if you were to look it up, the Karban Nisanal says that he doesn't understand. He says he has a suffix. He knows everybody does it. That's what he writes. He knows the old, I think he says the women in Prague use pins to attach their clothing, and he just doesn't understand what is the heter to do it. He doesn't definitively say that it's prohibited, because he's aware of the fact that there was a minig to actually use pins. Other Paiskim that come afterwards disagree with the Karban Nisanal, and they say pins have nothing to do with Kareyim. Moshe is one of them. There's many others, the Chazanish and other Paiskim. But Harav Moshe says that he doesn't understand what it has to do with Kareyim, because he gives a very, very, sewing, Taifer, because he gives a very, very clear definition of what the Malacha of Taifer is. He says the Malacha of Taifer is when you're taking two articles of clothing, and by sewing them, you're making them one. For, he says, if you're stitching with thread, the thread becomes one with the clothing, right? It's something which that's the way clothing is made. It's made with thread, and stitching threads into a clothing, after you're finished, it looks as if it's one with the clothing, and to remove the threads would involve ripping, right? So it's become bonded with this piece of cloth or two clothing that you've used to attach. You have become bonded, they've become one, and separating them would involve kareya, would involve tearing. That is the definition of the melacha of tefer. Likewise, tefer is also not only sewing and stitching, but gluing is also tefer. If you take two pieces of paper and you glue them together, it's also a melacha d'oraisa of tefer. It says likewise, the two pieces of paper bond, they become one. That's why it's an issur of tefer. But he says, where something does not become one with the cloth, it does not become one with the clothing, and it does not involve any tearing to remove it, like in the case of a pin, he says that has nothing to do with tefer at all. Absolutely no issur of tefer at all. So putting in or removing pins or safety pins, in Rav Meisher's opinion, has nothing to do at all with the melachos of tefer and its mutter. You can use safety pins to close a button, to hem a pants. You can use it and you can remove pins, because the pins have nothing to do at all with the melachos of tefer. It's not stitched and you can remove it. He disagrees flat out with this carbon nisan. That's Rav Meisher Feinstein's sheet. He brings down the carbon nisanel. And he says, even the carbon nisanel that holds that it's usur, even the carbon nisanel that does prohibit this, he said that's only because they used to do it, they used the pins in a way that was meant to stadium. And there the carbon nisanel held that it's a question of an isur. If you put in a pin in a way that's actually you're leaving it in the clothing and it's staying there, that involves an isur d'oraisa. But any time it's a temporary use of a pin, or you're just using it to hold, he's talking about actually pinning diapers shut with a safety pin, or pinning a shirt shut, or doing a temporary hem, he says that even the carbon nisanel would never have thought that it should be a question of tefer. There's no, it doesn't resemble tefer at all, and therefore it's mutter. That's a Moshe Shita, the Chazon Ish, the Deborah Sinarov, many other Paiskim agree with him on this, and they hold it's not usher at all. Mishavura, like I mentioned before, did say that it's usher. Now, okay, so we have here one heter of removing the pins, and that's Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, and other places who say that pins don't involve tefer. Now, let me bring in a second heter. There's a second heter here, and that is that even if we'll consider the pins tefer, we'll consider them that they're stitched in. The shaila is, it's a tefer she'ena shal kayama. It's not a permanent stitch. The manufacturer put in those pins, put there for the express purpose that you should remove it when you need to use the shirt. And the question is that help you when it comes to the isra of stitching? Now we know, when it comes to the isra of tying, knotting on Shabbos, kosher, kshira is only usher if the kshira shal kayama. It's only usher to tie on Shabbos if the knot is meant for a permanent, to stay on a permanent basis. And there's a question in Hilchos Kosher, how long does it constitute permanence? Is it 24 hours? Is it a week? Is it forever? That's the question, and generally, any knot that's meant to last more than 24 hours, we refrain from, and definitely any knot that's meant to last more than a week, we definitely have to refrain from. That's an asar achapanim, at least midrabanan. So, by knot, it's said very clearly, defining that if something is done there for a day, it's less than a day, it's permitted, more than a day, it's questionable, perhaps you can do it, but more than a week, if a knot is made for more than a week, you can't untie it. What about tefira? What about stitches? I'll have to discuss that separately. But in this case, it wouldn't make a difference. Let's put it aside, that question aside for a minute. By tefir, what's the halacha by stitching? Does stitching have the same guidelines or not? So the Ramah in Simon Shin Yud Zayin brings down, in Siv Yimol, he says, V'yesh matirin b'tefiru she'en eshal kayam. There are those that say that a tefir which is not permanent is mutter, same way like tying. The aim lahatir b'shnei amaret, but don't do this in front of an amaret. You won't understand what the basis and won't understand what you're doing. He'll think looks like stitching is mutter on Shabbos, and he'll just build his own shulchan aruch out of it. So you shouldn't do it in front of an amaret. But tefira, there are those that are matir and tefira shein shal kayama. This is accepted as halacha, even though he says the yesh matirin. This is accepted that this is a halacha. So anytime something is a tefira shein shal kayama, if it's not a permanent stitch, it's mutter to unravel it. Puts it to untie, cut it, or cut through it. Now the question is, okay, but I just said before, either a day, less than a day, or less than a week is Ein Eshal Kayama. Here, the manufacturer put that pin in there for as long as necessary. It could be a year, it could be 2 years, who knows how long it'll sit on the shelf. Right? If he put it in there for the purpose of you taking it out, but he didn't have any time limit on it, what is that? Is that Kayama, or is that not? You would imagine it should be. However, this comes into a different machlokes, also in Simon Shin Yud Zayin. Mishabur being done in Mechlekes Haz and Levush. And he's talking about where you gave in your clothing to the cleaners. And the cleaner, the way he made sure not to mix your clothing with someone else's clothing is he knotted it together. Right? So he took your socks and he knotted them all together, and then he returned it to you with this knot. So he made this knot for the purposes that you'll untie it when you get it, or whenever you need it. Right? He didn't know when you'll pick it up, or he didn't know when you'll untie it. So he made it for the purpose of being untied, but with no particular time limit. As soon as you get it, that's when you untie it. It could be a day, it could be a month, it could be a year. So he brings down a machlokes. The Taz, I remember which one is which, I believe the Taz holds that it's asur. It's considered shakayama, being that it has not been given a particular time limit, so we look at it as if it was made for more than a week, or more than a day, or more than a week, it's prohibited. And the Levush says, no, the opposite, being that it has no time limit, so then we look at it as if it's for less than a day. And as it was made to be open as soon as you get it, and as you get it could be less than a day, so even if it took a little longer until you got around to opening it, we don't consider it that it was made to last. It's not made to last in any way, shape, or form. It was just made to be opened as soon as you get it. Therefore, it's not called a kesh shachayim at all. So, Mr. Buri here also doesn't give you a definitive answer on which way do we go. Do we consider it mutter? Do we consider it asur? However, some later poskim said, Shlomo Zalman said, that we hold it's mutter. We hold that when it was only made for the purpose of being opened, when a manufacturer ties something only for the purpose for you to open it as soon as you get it, that is called a kesher she'enish al kayama, and that's mutter to untie. Therefore, here also, this pin, being that it was put in just for the purpose of you taking it out when you get it, so inasmuch that we'll consider it a tefira, we'll consider it a stitch, but nevertheless, it's a stitch which is Einish al Kayama. It's a tefira Einish al Kayama, because it was made for the purpose of when you get it, you'll untie it. Therefore, it would be permitted even if we will consider it a stitch. So, number one, we said pins could be aren't, doesn't involve stitching at all. Or Moshe, or Chaznish, and the other person say pins, nothing to do with stitching at all. You can remove it, no problem. And even if we'll accept the view of the Karpin Asano and Mr. Barua, that pins are considered stitching, but it's only a temporary stitch because it was only made to put there for the purpose that you should remove it when you get it. And that, we're bringing a Levush, that's also called Einish Al Kayama, even though it lasts more than a week, but being that it was done that as soon as you get it, you should remove it, that's also an Einish Al Kayama, and therefore it would be mutter. Let me bring another situation, which is might be more, at one point in your life at least, was more relevant, was diapers. Diapers, when they come in the bag, from the company, so the sticky ones at least, they're stuck onto themselves. In other words, they have the way you fasten it with the sticky adhesive is stuck onto itself so that it shouldn't dry out, the adhesive. So you have to open that, and then you can attach the diaper to the baby. So as far as attaching the diaper to the baby goes, it's only temporary, right? You're gonna couple hours till the diaper gets soiled, and then you take it out, and then you detach it and throw it away. So even if we were to consider that gluing to be typer, which will, question for itself, but even if we were to consider it being typer, but it's Einish Al Kayama. However, the when this adhesive was attached by the manufacturer in the company, he did it months before, a year before, right? And he wanted it to be sealed until you get it. So then why would it be permitted for you to open this seal of the sticky adhesive, which was stuck on itself? Why would it permit you to open it? That should be considered, it was tafor, gluing, like we said before, is also like stitching, and you're opening up a stitch, which is shakayama. But you have the same heter as I said previously, and that is that being that it is tefira only for it was only done for express purpose that you should open it as soon as you get it. So therefore, we consider that Einish Al Kayama. We consider that Einish Al Kayama, and therefore it is permitted to open the adhesive, even though it was there for quite a bit of time, and refasten it to your baby. So therefore, Mishmir Shabbos Lachas also says quite clearly, in this case of the pins, it is permitted to remove the pins from the shirt in order to use that shirt on Shabbos, being that the pins, A, we have a heter that pins are not typer at all, and even if they aren't typer, it's considered a tefira she'enish al kayama, which is also permitted on Shabbos. Now, are the pins mukta or are the pins not mukta? Right? Let's figure this out. So Rav Moshe said that these pins don't involve a melacha of Shabbos at all. There's absolutely no problem using these pins on Shabbos. So then they're not mukta. They're klisha melacha leheter. You're allowed to use these pins on Shabbos. There's no way you can do an aveir with them. There's no way you can do an issue with them. L'chayra, then the pins would not be considered mukta. Therefore, you can remove the pins, put them down, pick them up, and put them in the garbage later. However, if the other Paiskim that consider the pin that is an Isser Shabbos, in other words, if you were to use the pin in a way which is generally made to be used as fasten something more permanently, so then that would involve an Isser Shabbos, so then it would be a Kli Shemalachta L'Isser, that which is Mukta. However, a Kli Shemalachta L'Isser is Mukta L'Serach Gufa in the Kaima. If you need to use it for its own purpose or you need to get it out of the way, you're allowed to remove it. So you'll still be allowed to remove the pins regularly with your hand, because it's a Kli Shemalachta L'Isser, it's in your way, you can remove it. However, you would have to then directly drop it in the garbage, but if you were to put it down, then you would not be allowed to pick it up again and put it into the garbage, because that's not a Seraph Shabbos, unless, of course, it's in a place that's dangerous for a child or something like that. But then there's a blanket heter. Anytime you have any sort of mukta which is dangerous to people, you're allowed to remove it. If there's broken glass on the floor, you're allowed to pick it up by hand and move it out of the way. Because anything which is dangerous, that the Isser mukta would not apply. But otherwise, you would have to rather put it directly into the garbage rather than put it down and then put it into the garbage, which is the way we should. Okay, generally, yeah. I mean, right. So just the heter of sakhan is even where there's no heter mekayme. Like, for example, I say broken glass. That's mukta machmas gufay. That can't be moved at all. I say that can be moved regardless. But you're right. Something which is in the way of hurting yourself probably would be called seraph mekayme too. You're right. No, that's not called seraph. Oh, if it's on your plate, yeah. But let's say it's just on the table. You don't like the way it looks. We don't generally consider that. But that's a separate discussion. That's a mukta discussion. Okay, so now we've dealt with opening the bag, taking out the pins. The last question over here is when there are tags on the shirts, you know, like there's a string with a tag on it, or this also is relevant to the cleaner tags, to the labels. If you got to take the label off before Shabbos, can you remove those or not? So simply put, it's basically, if you were to untie the string, perhaps that would get into a question of kosher and matter, but cutting through the string is mutter. That's the halacha over here in Hilchos Kshira, that it's always mutter to cut the string. In other words, that's never called untying when you're just destroying the string by cutting it. And doing something destructive for the purpose of Shabbos, we said already earlier, is mutter, right? You can do something destructive, you can destroy the string and cut it because you need this shirt for Shabbos. Therefore, you'd be allowed to cut it. Not only would you be allowed to cut it, but you can take a scissor and cut it, because a scissor is a klisha malachta l'isser. However, here you need it l'tzerach gufay, right? You need it for how to assist you in the cutting. So there, it will be mutter even to take a scissor and cut through the string and to remove those tags. Likewise, in the case of a cleaner label, it will be the same idea. You'd be allowed to cut off the cleaner tag and tear it off. However, if you were, let's say, rather than tearing it off for whatever reason, you would want to slip it off the staples. That's not preferable, because stapling is considered tearing. In other words, even if we will hold pins are not and safety pins are not, stapling, that seems to be, everybody agrees, stapling two papers together is considered a permanent way of attaching two papers. So stapling is considered a proper tefillah. So rather than undoing the staples, which would be undoing a stitch, and you have to, you know, just be simon on the heter of tefillah she'en shachayama and get into that whole issue, rather tear the label and throw it away rather than undo the stitch. If you didn't remove it, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, if you didn't remove the staple, no. The staple is bound to your shirt, and there's no issue of it. Even if you weren't to remove the whole tag, right? Let's say you're in the street and you remember there's a tag, right. It's also no problem of carrying. It doesn't involve. It's bustled to the shirt, it's insignificant, it's unimportant, and it's not.
So similarly, you know, you have these like nylon yahoo ties.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You don't want this nylon tag that you just go sniff and cut the tag.
Exactly.
And light it off.
Right.
Yeah. So, definition of tefillah originated with the Torah. There was an objective to the worship, and the objective to the tefillah of the method.
Right.
So you think, well, you take two entities, like two pieces of cloth and two pieces of skin when a person has a cup.
Okay.
The vehicle used to bind the person runs into them. Was
yes, chicken. That's the point he's trying
How
to make.
How does that work with the staple?
Apparently, in staples and papers are considered. Well, in other words, a thread, technically, you can use a metal thread too, right? His point is just that after you're finished, it has to look like one item, not like a shirt with a safety pin in it, right? See, a thread, even if that thread is quite obvious, right, it's still considered part of the shirt. It's like one shirt with a thread. It binds into it, and it involves tearing to remove it. It says stapling papers together. Ramesh actually himself doesn't deal with staples, but it seems from the later place, they consider stapling as equivalent to gluing when it comes to bonding two papers together. So that as much becomes part of the paper as the glue does.
In terms of the stitch, how many
there's a question whether there's stitching bichlal in the human body. That's not poshut. There's a question whether the human body is a medium for stitching, right? Maybe just clothing. So the question of bichlal, there's two questions when it comes to stitching on the human body. There's one question which is, you know, you're using actual stitches, right? So that you have to tie knots and you have to stitch. So that's one question. But aside from that, there is a question whether the fact that you have a cut and you're putting the two edges of the cut together and they will bind together naturally, that also is a question of stitching. There are some places in the hole that itself, causing the bodies to bind together, is also a question of stitching and is prohibited. Which is a very, very difficult to understand that view, why we would perceive that as stitching, why it's considered you're doing that. It sort of happens by itself naturally. It's hard to understand, but there are some people that hold like that, and so you wouldn't even be allowed to put a butterfly band-aid on, you know, to hold the two edges together. I believe we don't hold like that. That is permitted, and stitching also in most cases is permitted. Generally, the doctors who do it on Shabbos, they try to make a bow, you know, just to get out of the knotting issue, especially if it's dissolved. That's another whole discussion. I just want to add one thing. As far as the diapers are concerned, Rav Moshe says that for the same reason he holds putting a pin in and removing a pin is not called stitching and is not called tearing because it doesn't meld together and it's obvious that it's not becoming one item. He says, likewise, the diapers, taping the diaper onto itself or the taping it to each other, is not a type of taping which would be called tight for bichlal. Because being that it comes on and off and it's made to come on and off without becoming permanently attached to the diaper, that's the purpose of it and that's the way it's composed. So he says, therefore, these two items never become really attached. They're made expressly in a way that they should never become attached. They should always be amicably able to remove them. So therefore, he knows that also doesn't involve an issur of tipher at all. Right? What the type of material is. And what is it obvious that it's made for, right? Yes. So that's what where I was saying is technically it would be mutter. It's preferable not to do it and to avoid the question, but technically it's mutter. And if you do it, in other words, a tie pick and it sticks it to your shirt or just stays on the tie?
It goes through both ends of the tie. Or to keep the two.
Oh, to keep the two parts. So basically you can't take off the tie without removing that.
Jewelry.
Right. So you can't remove the tie without taking out that pin. Right. Okay. So then if you just put it in once and twice, not three times, in other words, the typical way of using that pin, it will be permitted because it's quite clear that it's made for the express purpose of removing. Then it would be permitted. Yeah. Then could be everybody would agree that you can remove it. You can use the tie pin.